AM 1420 WASR Wolfboro, W246 DI Wolfboro at 97.1 FM. Local, community, radio.
And now, live from WASR Socially Distant Studios, the best sports show on this station at this time. It's Mike and the Haas on WASR, powered by the Yum Yum Shop in downtown Wolfboro, Kingswood Sports, New Hampshire Sports, and National Sports. So here they are, Mike Dene and Charlie Hasek.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Mike and the Haas on WASR Radio, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. I'm Mike Dene, and alongside Charlie Hasek, we are Mike and the Haas. We're waiting for him to turn it down. There you go.
You're doing a good job, though. No more hand signals or anything.
I was just staring over there. Death glare. That's all it was.
Eric ignored you like I tried to at times.
He was really focused on what he was doing. How's everybody today? Eric, how are you?
Pretty good.
Yeah. Eric said he had a quiet day at the radio.
Quiet day?
Yeah.
Quiet day is a good day. I'm doing really well. I still want to hear our little promos. Are they programmed in?
They are.
All right. I'm tired of hearing about Dunkin' Donuts. So just throwing that out there. All right. That's
good.
Wasn't
I supposed to start earlier this week?
He did. He started.
Yeah, he did start it.
Yeah. I just haven't heard it yet.
Tuesday.
Need to, and it's funny because all I listen to now is WASR, which is awesome. I love it. Yeah.
Was the Eric Scott show on this week?
No, Chief Rondo's on vacation.
Oh, okay.
So, but
Will you have Jeb tomorrow?
I'll be on Friday with State Senator Jeb Bradley.
All right, great.
I'll have the text line ready to listen
tomorrow, which will be good. Hey, you know what I did listen to? I listened to Brody's show yesterday, and you were part of Brody's show, so it was a good listen to. I've learned way too much about organic poultry and things like that. So. I do appreciate it. I did learn something.
You did?
Yeah, which is good.
Please enlighten me on the organic poultry. How has that come up on the show?
He was talking about can you help me out with the bill?
Evidently, due to a lack of staff, they've had to suspend the organic meat certification program here in New Hampshire, which forces the producers to get certified by a private firm out of state at about three times more money.
Oh.
Which means that's going to probably be passed on to us, the consumer.
Right.
As it should be. I mean.
Well, obviously as it should be. But if organic meat is already expensive to begin with.
Do you eat organic meat?
If I have the opportunity to, I will.
Okay.
Sure.
Do you, Eric?
Generally not.
Okay. I would say I'm more generally not. If I have the opportunity, if it's there, and unfortunately, if the price is right.
Yeah.
We're all on a budget.
Yeah, yeah. So you're right. I mean, if the opportunity is there and the price is right, I would go all in.
What about wild turkey? Have you ever had like
wild
caught turkey?
The alcohol?
No.
Oh
no. Like
I've had the alcohol.
The turkeys that cross the road and somebody goes turkey hunting and shoots them and then they pluck them and eat them.
I've never had a wild turkey. I mean, I've had fresh turkey that's been raised at farms, but never.
I think that's different.
I've never had one that.
Well, my understanding is very tough because. The turkeys that we eat for, and if anybody's, 569-5253, if you want to call in and enlighten us about turkeys, but that wild turkeys, because they're eating a lot of bugs and proteins and things like that, that it's not fat, it's muscular, that they have a lot more muscle, whereas the turkeys that we eat are grain-fed.
Plump and juicy.
They're raised to be eaten to be tender and juicy.
Now, I don't really care for turkey. Like, I like turkey breasts, honey turkey, like on my sandwich, something like that. But I'm not like a big, like with, as far as like a traditional Thanksgiving meal, I'm pretty much about everything but the turkey. Like, I love all the sides, the stuffing, the potatoes, like all of that stuff. Green bean casserole, the butternut squash, I'm all in. But as far as the turkey, I could go without.
We, as you know, we're not having our turkey dinner next week.
Right.
And, Carla said that she wanted to still make a turkey. And so she asked our opinions, and it was unanimous, 3-0, no, we don't want the turkey.
Okay.
And not that I mind turkey, and I like the leftovers, but the whole operation of a big turkey dinner is just so exhausting.
I like that.
I'm not down on Thanksgiving either. No. It's just on a Tuesday to do a big turkey dinner.
So next week's a little crazy. I mean, you're going to be traveling, and we our son, Jonathan, he's going to Florida.
Right.
So we're actually picking him up at the airport on Thanksgiving Day. So we're not having Thanksgiving food on Thanksgiving Day.
Boston Market?
No, we're actually going to Kowloon.
Oh, that's right. You mentioned
that. So we're going to Kowloon for Chinese food. with his Jonathan and his buddy, and then and Michelle and Abby will be joining us. So we're going to do that, and then we'll end up at my brother-in-law's. But Abby said, she'd like to have a traditional Thanksgiving meal, but she doesn't want the turkey. She said, can we do a chicken instead? So on Wednesday,
okay. We'll
do a traditional Thanksgiving meal and have a chicken instead of a turkey.
Did you have your Thanksgiving meal at school today?
So that
was
we
today
we
the
served,
traditional
yep,
one?
I actually helped the serve.
So did I.
Yep, which
so
is which is always fun. I did not consume it, but it looked so good.
I did. Yeah. I mean, it's pure carbs.
It's
so
the
I'm
best.
Sure
yeah,
why
I,
you, that's what you did.
I completely avoided it. It's by far the best meal of
absolutely.
The year, and they do yep. such a nice job.
Yep,
what did you guys have for dessert?
We had a butterscotch pudding, vanilla pudding,
I love pudding,
and pumpkin cake.
Great. And we had a nice...
Mrs. Hunt was passing that out. I was in charge of the potatoes and the turkey.
I was the roll, cranberry sauce, and the fruit guy.
Oh, you would have been to my left.
Yep. And they had made some really nice cakes for dessert, which was great.
It was pumpkin cake or something like
that.
Which
was
great.
Good. Yeah.
All right. Mike and the Hoss is powered by the Yum Yum Shop located in the heart of downtown Wolfboro and can be found on WASR 97.1 FM and 1420 AM and all over the world on WASR.net. The Yum Yum Shop has over 100 varieties of fresh baked goods, including 6 different types of bread and a full-service ice cream bar, and, of course, their most famous item, the gingerbread cookie. Make sure to visit the Yum Yum Shop the next time you are in Wolfboro or online at yumyumshop.com. And while you're there, enter the discount code of Mike and the Hoss or WASR to receive $5 off a Gingy Box. You can always join our conversation today at 569 Lake, 569-5253. And today is Trivia Day. It's brought to you by the Full Belly Deli, so you're going to want to hold on to that number, 569 Lake, 569-5253.
Well, speaking of Yum Yum, Mike, I saw Mr. Yum Yum yesterday.
I saw Mr. Yum.
Along with you, yeah.
Yes.
So it was really nice to see Peter Kelly do such a nice job with the Yum Yum Shop and the community. And prior to this, of course, you know where I always stop now.
I do know where you
Lucas,
stop.
Lucas Roasting Company. And I got myself a nice iced Americano, which is good stuff.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Yours is feel good. Your take is opening takes feel good.
It is.
Mine is... mine's not. I mean, it's not bad, but it's not a feel-good thing. So why don't you go first?
Okay. So are you familiar with my opening take, or is it just...
Yeah, I actually am.
Okay, great. Yep. Yeah. So the California School for the Deaf, which is located in Riverside, California, they have 169 students total, and it's a K through 12 school. Every student there, by virtue of the name... can't hear. They're deaf, and a lot of their teachers are deaf as well. And it just so happens their football program hasn't had a successful season in the past 7 years. Some seasons without any wins at all. And their head coach happens to be the PE teacher. He himself is deaf, and he actually has 2 sons that are deaf that are on the football team this year. And you're right. This is a feel good story. So they're currently 2 wins away from a championship in their division. They are currently 11-0, and their nickname, they're the Cubs. And not only are they beating their opponents, they're really destroying their opponents. Their last game the other day, they scored 84 points, and their opponent scored 12 points, and they did show some mercy by putting in their second string and freshman in the second half. What I really find interesting about this is that they the way they call, as a football guy, the way they call plays, and Eric, you may find this interesting as well, the way they call plays is that they don't huddle up.
Why would you?
Right. They don't huddle up. They go right to the line of scrimmage. All 11 players look over to the sideline. The coaches are giving hand signals. Some of it's sign language, but some of it's just hand signals and telling what play to call. They know exactly what play to call. They talk about how the stadium itself, there's no national anthem beforehand. There's a flag, and they stand there and honor the flag. There are no PA announcers. There's no music. And they just go out there and they just play football. Interesting quote from the coach of the Desert Christian, who just lost 84-12. And he said, I would say be careful in thinking that you have an advantage, he said. They communicate better than any team I have ever coached against. And it went on. They went on. I don't know if you read the rest of the article of this, but it went on to talk about how a person that's deaf has a heightened sense of their visual is their vision is much better. And it's just I'm amazed, and I think it's awesome because it didn't start out awesome, because for the past 7 years not having a winning program, they were also being harassed. You know, there were some instances where, like, their volleyball team talked about, you know, the opponent said, how dare you, know, how can you lose to a deaf team? This is, you know, this is an embarrassment. There were other teams that they faced where the players and coaching staff were made fun of because they couldn't hear. So this is just, this truly is a feel-good story. And, you know, digging a little deeper into this, based on the division, this is a football team that is good. I mean, they can mm-hmm. compete with anyone. And a lot of these kids have been playing together since they were young. And one mother was interviewed and talked about how she her son came home one day from a practice where he was playing with kids that could hear. And the way they treated him poorly and didn't really accept him. And he was lucky to find kind of a community of other children that are just like him. And they've gone on to excel. And I just think it's so cool that they're able to play the game of football, certainly a game that I love. And I love playing and love coaching. And they're able to do it in such a way that they don't have to huddle. They just go to the line of scrimmage. They're able to communicate.
Everything's a hurry-up offense.
They're able to communicate, apparently, better than I'm able to communicate with, you know, sending in players and talking to players that can hear. And I just think it's awesome. And I hope two wins away, I hope they win it all.
Do you know, like, the division that they play in? I mean, there must be so many divisions in California.
There's so many divisions. No, I'm not familiar. I mean, it appears they're playing in, you know, if they're playing Desert Christian, it appears that they're playing in some type of private school.
Yeah. So that's one thought that came to mind. The other one is, even if it was not a school for the deaf, having only 169 kids in a K-12 school and being able to field a football team.
Isn't that amazing?
Let alone, if you just do the math on it, you know, it's, you know, roughly 14 kids per grade.
Right.
If it was evenly spread out.
It has to be 9, 10, 11, 12 that can play football.
And if you're 50-50 male to female, so you basically have roughly 28 kids total, 28 boys total. And I know females can play football.
Sure.
Maybe that's the case.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they probably don't have a soccer team.
I'm sure they don't have multiple sports in the fall.
To be competitive at a football. Do you remember the movie The Replacements with Keanu Reeves?
Yes. Yeah.
And one of the replacements was a tight end or a wide receiver who was deaf.
Mm-hmm.
And he and Keanu had hand signals that they would do so they would know the play. And I thought it was very like a warm, touching moment during the movie that because the star of the movie was able to relate to the deaf receiver, he was able to be successful. Opposed to the jackass that came in that was, you know, the regular NFL player that came in
the
and
stud,
made him feel crappy.
Yeah. And because they always have a pregame meeting because obviously they're deaf, they can't hear the whistle blow.
Right.
So the referees, not only do they blow their whistle, they have to do hand signals so that the players know that it's the play is, you know, stopped.
Yeah.
But here's the best part. They talked about this. These kids, you always say, you know, as a coach, play to the whistle, play to the whistle. Well, these kids can't hear the whistle, so they play, and then they pick up the body language of other players around them. So these guys and girls that are playing never stop. They don't stop until they see the referee doing this. So they're always given that extra, which is, I think, awesome. I mean, think about if all kids did that.
Right.
You know, that they were talking about it, too, in the form of basketball where, you know, their basketball team seems to be pretty good, too, because they only stop driving to the hoop when they realize everyone else around them has stopped. So they always have that continuation play. So it's just completely different, and I think it's awesome. And I think it would be amazing. I mean, I wish we lived out west to be able to go see these guys play football.
I would love to go see them play.
Yeah.
Sports needs those feel-good stories right now.
Yes.
They do, because there are so many negative things, not just in sports, but in society also.
Yep.
And every time we turn the news on at 6 or 6:30, that's all we see.
Yeah, that's all it is.
And I just keep this stuff going. Keep flowing with the positive things.
Definitely.
And these nice feel-good stories, because I think we need it.
We absolutely do.
All right, we'll be right back. Mike and the Hoss is sponsored by the Downtown Grill and Cafe. When in downtown Wolfboro, don't forget to stop at the Downtown Grill and Cafe. The Downtown Grill is open from 7 to 3, 7 days a week, 364 days a year, serving breakfast and lunch with daily specials and delicious homemade soups. The grill offers the finest organic and fair trade gourmet coffee and tea, several gluten-free options, and a unique and delicious breakfast and lunch menus. So for some of the best breakfast and lunch options in town, visit the Downtown Grill and Cafe during your next visit. Need a chainsaw, some paint, or even a grill? Don't head down to the big box store. Stop at Bradley's Hardware in downtown Wolfboro. At Bradley's, you will find all of your hardware needs. Bradley's Hardware carries quality name brands such as Steel and Echo Power Equipment, Benjamin Moore Paints, Weber and Big Green Egg Grills, and just about anything else you could find in a hardware store. Bradley's also stocks an extensive inventory of rental equipment. Rent anything from a commercial carpet cleaner to a cement mixer. So before you head out of town, stop at Bradley's Hardware on 22 Railroad Ave in downtown Wolfboro. They are open Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 7:30 to 5. Bradley's is your local hardware choice.
After the program today, I'm heading to Skelly's Market in Moultonboro, New Hampshire. They have all your grocery needs, plus more with great customer service. Pizza, subs, fried chicken, and a great selection of meats to put on your grill. On Saturday nights, there's always the much-loved pizza special, with two large topping pizzas for only $20. Skelly's also features Richardson's Ice Cream and the world-famous Bailey's Hot Fudge. Enjoy your visit to Skelly's Market at 374 Governor Wentworth Highway in Moultonboro, New Hampshire, and see why Skelly's is the convenience store with a little more.
603-569-5253 if you want to join a conversation. Welcome back to Mike and the Hoss, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. Quickly, Kingswood Sports. Next week.
Yeah, the week after Thanksgiving break.
No, actually, next week. The hockey team's on the ice for skills practices.
Yes, so you guys are on Monday, Tuesday?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Nice.
Three skills practices. The official tryouts don't start until the following Monday, the 29th. And that's that's across the board.
And that's
for
when
all
we all go back to school.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that there's some excitement around the winter sports. We know that the hockey team, coming off a season that, you know, obviously they're all coming off of COVID seasons, and it was, you know, drastically shortened. And I don't want to say the boys' hockey team is going to catch anybody by surprise, because that's usually saying that they're not good, but that's not the case this year. I like talented group. We are going to be fast. That's what I'm seeing. I think we're going to be a very fast team. What happens, who we play, you know, how that works out, we'll see when they come up. But I just have a pretty good feeling we're going to be fast. I think the girls' hockey team is going to be solid.
Good.
They have some players that are coming back. They don't have Abby Kelly at this point.
That's right.
You know, she had blew her knee out during lacrosse season.
Yeah.
Boy, knee injuries are
bad.
Have
they figured out a goalie?
Yes.
The goalie situation?
So a goalie that was there at the very beginning last year, that wasn't able to finish out.
Decided to play because of COVID.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is back.
Great.
And she's very good.
Yeah.
I worked with her a couple times last year during the opening practices.
Yeah.
She's very good.
Yeah.
She's going to win them some games.
That's going to be awesome.
Yep.
Yeah.
Basketball team is returning some guys.
A bunch of seniors.
Yeah.
Which is great.
They should make some noise this year.
Yeah.
Girls basketball team ended on a high note last year, so
sure did.
You know, they should make some noise. We don't know about winter track and swimming though.
We don't know a whole lot about winter track, and we're not sure if there's going to be a swimming team. Hopefully, there's going to be. The pool that they were going to be using apparently is closing. We're using a pool over in Guilford.
Yeah, the Guilford Hotel, right?
There's a
hotel over there.
It's a saltwater pool over there. So hopefully, you know, I know that we've had some swimmers over the years that are now swimming in college, Mike.
That's right.
So, which is exciting.
I mean, I think we're going to be able to start, you know, getting some coaches in, not next week, but the week after.
The week after, yeah. I'm hoping that this year, Mike, and you know, maybe you can help me since you're a coach. I'm hoping to maybe make it to the big leagues this year, because the voice is ready to maybe announce some boys and girls hockey games.
I'm not sure. Yeah. I'll have to talk to Coach Potenza.
Yeah, we'll have to see what Coach Potenza. I mean, he may need me to do a tryout.
He might.
He might. And I'm more than happy to kind of cue up his favorite song.
So you want to do the girls and the boys? Is that what your plan is?
Yeah, I mean, I really want to. I want to be as involved as I can. I mean, I'm really enjoying hockey, and why would I not want to be there? Because obviously, I'm a huge girls hockey fan because of my daughter, and I want to continue to support not only you but your son on the ice as well.
Okay, I will pass on the word to Coach Potenza. But yeah, we got to start having the coaches call in and getting real previews. But we had decided that let's wait until they actually see who comes out for the teams.
Right.
And we'll go from there.
That's helpful to see who the players are.
On my opening take, I told you last night, I was kind of all over the place. And so I just started just brainstorming different things of random thoughts again. Last week, I think I did those. I had wonders all over the place.
Yeah,
it was kind of like Eric's wonders.
I like the wonders. Yeah.
But this one was random thoughts, and so the one I landed on for my the opening take, which is not really an opening take. Did you know that the ownership of the Boston Red Sox is buying the NHL franchise Pittsburgh Penguins?
It's so bizarre that the owners of the Red Sox, Boston Red Sox, are now going to be dipping into the Pittsburgh market and picking up the Pittsburgh Penguins. That any Boston fan doesn't like the Pittsburgh Penguins.
No, it's not your arch enemy because I mean you got a few ahead of them.
It's not the Canadians,
right?
Yeah.
But it's it would be the equivalent of the Crafts buying maybe the Toronto Blue Jays.
Right? Absolutely.
And so and there's no rules against it. I mean,
no, if you got the money, I guess you got the money, you got the
money.
But
doesn't it make just the Red Sox just seem now an investment?
Yeah.
They just seem
well,
you look
and
at
you
it as an investment.
That, I mean, even when you look at the Red Sox, I mean, LeBron James is part of that group.
Yep.
So, you know, even having his name.
Even having him there is a
even
problem.
Even having his name attached to this.
I didn't have a problem when they bought the soccer team over in Liverpool because it's a different country and you know.
And I don't have a problem with the NASCAR, the Roush Fenway.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that either because that's just different. I like the fact that the Crafts own the Patriots and the Revolution.
Yeah.
You know, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You feel good about rooting for both teams.
Right.
When the Pittsburgh Penguins win the Stanley Cup, how are you going to feel about John Henry and Tom Werner and Larry Lucchino, whoever else is in that ownership group, walking out onto the ice to raise the cup above their heads?
Right. It's
are they going to have a parade in Boston like Ray Bourque did?
I hope not. I mean, it's bizarre. But here's the other thing. So the ownership, you know, the ownership of the Red Sox, you just mentioned them. Does anyone even care about them? Like, I mean, we obviously, if they walked by us, we would recognize them and know who they are. But do they actually do anything as far as day-to-day operations of the Boston Red Sox other than write checks?
I mean, think they do.
Okay.
I think they
tell Chaim Bloom you're going to have to do this and this?
Well, I think ultimately they tell Chaim Bloom how much money he can spend on players.
Gotcha. Well, obviously, that's the right in the check piece. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a big deal in professional sports.
Yeah, you gotta have the money. I get that.
And not only that, I think they also, like Mookie Betts. We'll use Mookie Betts for an example. Mookie Betts was going to cost them around $300 million. Who do you think had the final say in that? Was that Chaim Bloom or was that John Henry?
It's the people that have the money. So,
exactly.
Yeah, it's John Henry. And I think just to defend John Henry, he made the right decision.
Yes, I agree with that. But did he not sign Mookie Betts because he was planning on buying the Pittsburgh Penguins or an NHL team?
Hey, that's a great point.
Where did the, you know, it just feels like it's not, we're not, what's this word I'm thinking about, that we don't have the same direction, that is, you're treating this strictly like a business, and if the Patriots or the Crafts don't spend money on the Patriots, but they spent money on the Revolution, you're just like, oh, you know, I get that.
Right.
But now you're taking the money out of town.
Now, and I mean, I think the answer to my question is no, but there isn't a conflict of interest because it's two separate sports. You have hockey and you have baseball. But it's probably not legal, but could the Red Sox ownership purchase the San Francisco Giants?
I don't think so.
You know, could they own two Major League Baseball teams, one in the NL, one in the AL?
There's got to be some bylaws in the MLB that you can't do that because it's never happened. So,
right.
I mean, somebody rich would probably do that.
I was wondering, it's never happened just because of the money?
Well, Elon Musk could buy, did you see that? I know, saw it came around.
He could buy all 32 teams.
Every single professional sports team in the four major sports. All at once. At once. He could own everything.
That's amazing, the amount of money that he has.
It's ridiculous.
But yeah, so it's you're right. It's turned. I mean, you answered the question already. It's strictly a business. They're doing it from a business perspective.
Yeah, they're not passionate fans.
It's about to make money.
And
I don't even think they're not. You're right. They're not passionate fans for the Red Sox.
But the Crafts are.
Oh yeah, the Crafts, Jonathan and Robert. You better believe it.
The Jacobs who own the Bruins are not.
No,
they live up in Buffalo.
Yeah.
It's a business for them, and they don't want to spend too much money on the Bruins.
That's what I like about Robert Kraft, though, the Kraft family, because, I mean, he was a fan before.
He was a season ticket holder.
Before he even purchased the Patriots.
Wick Grossbeck is a fan.
Yep.
You know, those guys, a lot of those NBA owners are a fan. They're right down there on the court and yelling and everything like that. I think Wick's a fan. I don't think Henry's a fan. I think Henry cares about the bottom line. Does this business make me money?
Exactly.
It's an investment, just like if he bought Apple. Did Apple make me money?
Right.
So that's too bad. Other thoughts? So, I mean, let's do some Tom Brady talk because I know, just stay calm over there.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. You've been
Eric,
watching
you know
the man of the arena.
You know how much I love Tom Brady. Yes.
You see how his voice got all Barry White on that one?
Oh, you know
Man in the Arena, I have not seen it, but feel free to spoil it for me.
I'm not going
to
spoil it. No,
feel free to.
No, I don't need to spoil it because I want you. I know you're going to watch it. You know this. I've watched it twice. You know, I watched it the other night, and then I rewatched it. And here's the thing. It's obviously Tom Brady's Tom Brady. You know how I feel about him. But I have even more respect now for Drew Bledsoe because Drew Bledsoe had such a major role in this first episode.
Yeah.
The conversations that he had, you know, talking about, I mean, Drew Bledsoe was a heck of a competitor, obviously.
Ted Bruschi just said that it was on Twitter that Drew Bledsoe is the inventor of the Patriot way.
I'm okay. I believe that because based on how Drew Bledsoe reacted to the fact that he got injured, then he lost his job, and then he came back for the AFC Championship game, got the Patriots into the Super Bowl, and then lost his job again and was still able to stand next to Tom Brady and cheer him on and help call plays. And he was the epitome. You're right. As Teddy Bruschi said, the epitome of the Patriots, the Patriot way. And I didn't know. I mean, I knew how I felt about Drew Bledsoe. You know, I'm like, oh, I like, you know, if you said to me, how do you feel about Drew? Oh, I like Drew Bledsoe. He was great. But I love Drew Bledsoe now.
Okay.
Good
to know.
You're going to be impressed by, you know, his comments through the first episode.
How do you feel about Tom Brady doing all these things, these documentaries about himself? Isn't that kind of the anti-Patriot way?
Well, I think
isn't he using the word "I" a lot more than "we" these days?
Absolutely, but in this instance, he was talking about what, and he credits Drew Bledsoe, Bill Belichick.
Yeah, but
it's
about him, though.
He credits all of these people for helping him to achieve his goals and his dreams. And it wasn't about, you know, he goes out and says it. It wasn't about my athleticism. He's like, I'm not an athlete. I'm slow. He's like, you know, yes, I could throw the ball and I'm accurate, but it's because of all the coaches and all of the other players and the other 10 players that I'm out there with and the defense that saved my rear end, you know, that first Super Bowl season when he really wasn't Tom Brady-esque. And he gave credit to all of these other people. And I think that isn't selfish. That isn't pointing the finger at himself. He knows that he's good because of everyone else that surrounded him. And he talks about how, you know, he didn't use the term blessed, but he used the term lucky. How lucky I am to have kind of fallen into this. You know, this backup at Michigan that has now turned into the greatest quarterback of all time. Think of all the luck that's involved, or some people might say how blessed he is to be able to kind of fall into these situations where he was able to be surrounded by greatness, and he himself has.
Do you know
now
he's fighting?
Great.
You know he's fighting with Bruce Arians right now.
Why?
For credit and who's running the offense and who's really
who's running that offense down there.
I'm just saying.
We could ask any man on the street who runs the offense in Tampa.
Okay,
and everybody knows that it's Tom Brady.
All right, and he wants the credit for it.
Well, he does.
Isn't that the anti-Patriot way?
He's not a Patriot right now.
But one of the things that we always liked about Tom Brady, that he was selfless.
And I think when he returns and retires in a Patriots uniform, he'll be selfless again.
I just don't think this is a Tom Brady. I think if Tom Brady would have come out the gate making documentaries about himself, talking I don't think that you would feel this way 20 years later about Tom Brady. I think you fell in love with Tom Brady because Tom Brady was team first for all those years.
Always team. Yeah.
And he's not that anymore. He's not. And I don't know how you could say that he is. I have a whole bunch of other ones.
I don't think I've said that he is.
Oh, all right. So,
I just said he's not a Patriot. And you're right. In Tampa, it's all about Tom.
It's all about Tom. Yep. All right. We'll be right back.
Lucas Roasting Company, which is located on King Street in beautiful Back Bay, Wolfboro. They serve delicious coffee, tea, espresso, and lattes. And you know what, Mike? They were voted the best coffee in New Hampshire by WMUR. They even roast their own coffee inside their cafe. Lucas Roasting offers over 40 different single origins and blends of coffee to choose from. My favorite is the Italian roast. It's really dark and has great, great flavor. After 13 years in the coffee industry, Lucas Roasting Company can handle personal and large business orders. Stop by their cafe on King Street in Wolfboro or order online to have delicious coffee shipped right to your door. The cafe is open Wednesday and Thursday, 7 to 5, and Friday and Saturday, 7 to 3. Or go ahead and visit lucasroasting.com anytime.
And please make sure to tell them that Mike and the Hoss sent you.
Everyone deserves a treat in life. The Yum Yum Shop in beautiful downtown Wolfboro is offering an amazing deal on their Gingy Boxes. Gingy Boxes are 24 delicious gingerbread cookies with 2 containers of frosting. Gingy Boxes can be shipped anywhere in the world. When you order online at yumyumshop.com, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Hoss to receive $5 off your order.
So don't forget, to save $5 on a Gingy Box, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Hoss at yumyumshot.com. Mike and the Hoss is sponsored by Duran Independent Insurance. If you're in the market for your health, life, or long-term care insurance, start with Paul Duran at Duran Independent Insurance. Paul and his team can answer any of your insurance questions with an independent voice. They can help you shop for the best rates available in New Hampshire and are your trusted time saver. So for any of your life, health, or long-term care insurance, start with Duran Independent Insurance. You can reach them at 603-569-6464 or duranindependentinsurance.com. Duran is independent and works for you. Welcome back to Mike and the Hoss. 569-5253, because it's time for trivia brought to you by the Full Belly Deli. All right, Coach, you're up.
All right. Well, Mike, what do you win?
You're going to win a lunch. You're going to win a lunch at the Full Belly Deli.
You are going to win a lunch at the Full Belly Deli. Okay, here we go. This is a little Patriots trivia. In 2006, the Patriots played in Gillette Stadium. But what company owned the rights to the name and then lost it when they went bankrupt? So in 2006, the Patriots played in Gillette Stadium. But what company owned the rights to the name and then lost it when they went bankrupt? Interesting thing, because the Revolution played prior to the Patriots under the name of this company. So I'm looking for that company that went bankrupt.
I don't remember this.
Yeah.
I don't have this one.
And I'll just throw I'll throw a little hint out. The company was based out of Waltham. Waltham, Mass. So that went bankrupt. So,
That one. So what company was owned the rights to the name of the stadium, prior to 2006?
Yeah, before it became Gillette Stadium.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, I can go all the, I don't want to say it because...
No, I mean, that's I'll all. Be, so I'll if be you know what, it's 603-569-5253. That's 603-569-5253. If you know in 2006, the name of the stadium that is now Gillette Stadium, what it was going to be called, unfortunately, this company went bankrupt. Can you name the company?
Real quick, I have some thoughts, but Bruins, they actually have not played since Sunday. And they're not playing again until Saturday. There's like a football team.
What's going on?
I don't know. And they're already about 2 or 3 games behind the rest of the NHL.
Who's doing the scheduling?
I don't know.
That's crazy. So does that mean at the end of the season it's going to be game?
Well, at some point it's going to be game.
Yeah.
I said in our notes, 6 games off between games.
Wow.
There's no news because they didn't play.
Yeah.
The Celtics are 6-7.
Yes.
They lost to Atlanta last night. You have put in there they're a 500 team.
Yeah.
I said they got bigger problems because the Bucks and the Raptors are behind them in the standings,
right,
which we know that they're better than the Celtics.
And the Celtics, same old. They can't finish. They had a great second and third quarter, but they can't finish in the fourth.
Jason Tatum thinks that he's a top 10 player in the league. Yeah. Hot take, I don't think he's a top 25 player in the league.
No, I agree with you.
So, Revolution, the conference semifinals begin on Tuesday.
That should say 11:30.
I was
November 30th.
So that's next Tuesday. That would be the following Tuesday. That's not next Tuesday. It's the following Tuesday. They're the team to beat. They're the favorite to win the MLS Cup. And then lastly, I don't know if you caught this, but the Red Sox, for some reason, are looking for a shortstop. Can you figure that one out?
Yeah, I can figure it out. You know why?
No.
Because Xander Bogaerts is going to move to third base. That's why. So they're gonna get a shortstop.
Where's Devers going?
Probably moving over to first base.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my thinking.
All right.
You know, because I mean,
did they draft the best shortstop in the draft that was going to be the number one pick? Didn't they just draft him?
That's in the minors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we got ourselves a phone call.
Do we have a phone call, Eric?
Yeah. All right.
How you doing?
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Thanks for calling. What do you got?
CMGI.
That is correct. CMGI.
CMGI. Nice job.
Did you invest in CMGI?
Negative.
Well, that's a good thing because you would have lost a whole lot of money.
That's awesome.
Unbelievable.
Hey, congratulations. Stay on the line, and Eric Scott, station manager, is going to take your information, and you can head down to the Full Belly Deli, and there will be a lunch waiting for you.
All right. Thank you.
Awesome.
Right.
Thanks for calling Mike and the Haas.
I would not have gotten that.
Yep, CMGI. Now CMGI was there. Oh, so we're gonna get you a pen. Hang on. CMGI was a company that went out of business, and they were able to come back into business under a different name, but they certainly didn't get the rights anymore to Gillette Stadium. So, nice. which is interesting.
All right, as we buzz through those things, the other random thoughts that we had, did we lose our? Oh, there we go. Yeah. Where am I? Oh, so we talked about Tom Brady. This is the one that really bothers me.
Yeah.
And you and I talked about this last night. You didn't even know. The USA soccer team played a World Cup qualifying match yesterday.
Yes, they did.
Yesterday at 5:30 p.m., they decided to play this down in Jamaica. I'm pretty sure Jamaica's on the same time zone that we are.
Yeah.
Okay. 5:30. It was not on ABC.
Right.
Not on NBC.
No.
It was not on ESPN. It was on the Telemundo network, Spanish-speaking network. It was not on an English-speaking network. You don't think the Ocho could have picked this thing up?
I would think so. Yeah.
At least something like that.
Yeah.
This is USA Soccer. This is their national team. They're coming off of a win against Mexico, which is, was a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
And they're going out to Jamaica. They were favored. And USA Soccer is in charge of growing the sport in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
That's their thing. They're like USA Hockey. And we are trying to, we talk about it on the show. There are all kinds of sports shows that are talking about
right.
it. And yet they decide to play a game. Now, maybe the international committee is the one who sets up the times. Maybe there. But I'm sorry, there's got to be an American station down there
that can
take a plane ride down there and throw some cameras in there and say, hey, let's televise this. Kids would watch this.
Right. But here's the other thing. Why are we not, like, I mean, you found out purely by chance, I'm sure you found out.
Purely by chance.
And why are we not letting the American public, the sporting world, know about this? Like, who's responsible for that? USA Soccer? Like, who is responsible for saying, hey, we have our national team competing at a high level. Why do we not know about this?
And they didn't qualify for the World Cup last time. It was a big deal. We talked about it. It was a national embarrassment as terms of soccer goes. Yet they're not televising or promoting.
Right.
They're all of the best soccer players in the United States are playing on this team. They take time off from their whatever national teams they play on, the
right.
European, whatever. They come and they play for the United States. No, not even promoting it. You couldn't even find it on the dial.
Mm-hmm.
It's shameful. And so we keep asking ourselves, and you and I ask ourselves this every 3 or 4 months, why isn't soccer bigger in the United States? This is why soccer's not bigger in the United States.
Perfect example right there, yep. Because they're not promoting it.
This is the reason why. All right.
I guess, Mike and the Haas promote soccer, apparently.
More than
than anyone else.
Mac Jones.
Good old Mac.
They did a power ranking for quarterbacks this week. He's a 13th rated quarterback. How do you feel about that?
I this is the homer in me. I think he should be higher. I was looking at the list that you put here.
Yep.
And I don't.
Who would he be higher than? I think it's about right. I think it's about where he is at this point.
Yeah,
who on that list would he be higher?
I think I have Mac Jones higher than Matthew Stafford. Just a little bit. I mean, I get it. I mean, but Stafford's struggling a little bit. You don't have him higher. I mean,
I Tannehill maybe, Russell Wilson.
Maybe I think it's interesting that I think it's great that Kyler Murray is number one, and he hasn't played in 2 weeks.
He hasn't played in 2 weeks. Aaron Rodgers didn't play because of COVID.
Dak Prescott, I agree with Dak Prescott.
He's missed a few games.
Patrick Mahomes, I mean.
Of course you have to put him. He's an MVP just two years ago.
I'm not arguing that. I just, you know, he's four. You got Lamar Jackson. You got Josh Allen.
Much more dynamic than Mac Jones is at this point anyway.
TB12 had a tough game last week, but still up there.
Still better than Mac.
Justin Herbert, I would say better than Mac. Russell Wilson, okay.
Super Bowl winner.
All right, so Tannehill, Stafford, maybe. Derek Carr playing for Vegas.
Derek Carr's the only one. They struggled last week. They were on a roll. But he's the only one there that I would say.
Maybe Mac could bump out.
Now, if you ask me which quarterback I would rather have for the New England Patriots at this point.
And you're going to say TB12.
Then I would put Mac ahead of Ryan Tannehill. I'd put Mac ahead of Matthew Stafford. I'd put Mac ahead of Lamar Jackson.
I mean, for the current Patriots? For the current Patriots team, I put Mac Jones ahead of Patrick Mahomes. Because he's not a system guy. He doesn't fit into the Patriots system.
How do you know? He's never tried to.
Because that's not who he is. It's the same way like you would.
Maybe
you
the Patriots system would be different.
You wouldn't want Russell Wilson because he's not going to fit into the Patriots system.
Oh, I think Russell Wilson would look great in a Patriots uniform.
What? I think they would look great, but I mean they'd have to create a new system.
But in given age and how the team is built this year, then I'm all in for Mac Jones.
Me too.
Last year, if you would ask me this. Then, no, I wouldn't want him. Charlie just did the Superman thing for Cam Newton. Then there's a bunch of guys in that list that I would have taken ahead of Mac Jones.
Yeah,
but given how Mac has looked, I'm okay with that. So that's I think it's okay. I mean, usually you read those things and you know there's homers involved with that, but not this one. Brett Favre, who is a quarterback that I have always despised.
What? How come?
There's
something about Brett Favre that I kind of like. And maybe it's because of the, you know, what, something about Mary, the movies or whatever.
Okay, first of all, I think Brett Favre was a terrible quarterback. I think he was a gunslinger that threw the ball all over the place, threw as many picks as he did touchdowns.
I agree.
Had a stacked Green Bay Packers team for many, many years. Went to two Super Bowls, lost one of them. Cost their team so often with bad interceptions because he tried to make it about himself.
Try to force it in,
You know, okay. I mean, a tough guy and all that kind of stuff. I don't think he's a very good person. But anyway, he was paid $1.1 million in appearance fees to promote the Mississippi welfare causes.
Now, before you even say anything, when you say the Mississippi welfare causes, wouldn't it have been better to put that $1.1 million into the welfare system for the Mississippi people?
I could not find who justified paying him $1.1 million to make appearance fees.
Yeah.
$1.1 million to say, oh, we need more money for welfare.
Yeah, so when you think
of welfare.
You think of welfare, you think of people that are struggling. So it's bizarre that you would pay someone that kind of money.
Well, they weren't supposed to because it was actually somebody who was embezzling this money.
Oh.
And Brett Favre had to pay it back. But he decided only to pay half of it back.
Okay.
And he didn't make any appearances.
Right.
And now they are coming after him for the money that he still owes and the $228,000 of interest that he's not paying. He's defaulted on that. Brett Favre is not a good person. I'm sorry, he's not. When he was with the Jets, he had that issue with he decided to send pictures of his parts to the reporter.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do. Here's the other thing now that I'm thinking that if you're a professional quarterback, a celebrity, whatever, and, you know, you're from, you know, Mississippi, right?
Yeah.
That's, you know, he's born and raised Mississippi.
Yeah.
So if someone's coming to you and saying, hey, can you help out the Mississippi welfare system? Why wouldn't you just volunteer your time?
Only for a mill.
Why would you be paid? You know, you can make a quick little commercial saying, hey, we need your support. I'm Brett Favre, you know.
He's a bad dude.
I guess so.
Zdeno Chara, 44 years old, still fighting, got two fights this week.
I wouldn't want to mess with Chara.
And then lastly, a Las Vegas sportsbook may lose $900,000 if Ohtani wins the MVP tonight. A guy at the beginning of the year, in March, put $30,000 on Ohtani to win the MVP, going off at 30-1.
Holy cow.
$900,000 this guy is going to make.
That guy is like feeling it right
Ohtani's
now.
Ohtani's going to win the MVP.
Yeah. You think?
He should. He should. Yes, he did not have as great offensive numbers as Vlad Jr.
Yeah.
But he also won 13 games.
Listen, we spent a segment talking about this, and I don't disagree. But it's clearly going to become Guerrero Jr.
Yeah.
And Ohtani.
Yep. And it's going to be the people who value the pitching part.
That's right.
All right, we'll be right back.
Carroll County Oil is independently owned and operated. Danny and Mike have been serving the Lakes region for over 20 years. Carroll County Oil offers prompt, courteous service with competitive rates. They offer automatic, will call, pre-buy, and budget programs designed to fit your needs. If your oil burner needs service, give Carroll County Oil a call, and they will contact a qualified technician 24 hours a day. At Carroll County Oil, you are a name, not a number. So, when your knees are knocking, fear no more. Give Carroll County Oil a call, and they'll be at your door. 539-8332.
When looking for a sub in town, don't forget about the Full Belly Deli on Mill Street in downtown Wolfboro. For some of the most tasty subs in town, you have to try the Full Belly Deli. Hey, Charlie, do you know about the Thanks for Giving Fridays?
I sure do. Thanks for Giving. Turkey, stuffing, cranberry sauce, and mayo on a grilled homemade white bread. You can reach the Full Belly Deli at 603-569-1955. And don't forget to tell them Mike and the Haas sent you.
Hey, this is Mike from Mike and the Haas. If you're in the real estate market, start with Faye Moore at Berkshire Hathaway. Faye brings 30 years experience to real estate in the Lakes region. If you're planning on selling, call Faye, and she could set up a complimentary market analysis to value your home and discuss anything you can do to help your house sell quicker and for more money. If you're buying, start with Faye. No one knows the local market better than Faye, and she will find the perfect house for you. So whether buying or selling, start with Faye Moore at Berkshire Hathaway by calling 888-723-0306 or verani.com.
If you're involved in an automobile accident and need your vehicle repaired by experts, call Weston Auto Body in Wolfboro, New Hampshire. Weston Auto Body is a family-run business, and they are the oldest auto body shop continuously operating in the United States. Weston Auto will work with your insurance company and the paperwork associated with your claim. Hey, Mike, did you know that Weston Auto does more than just body work? They do alignments, oil changes, brakes, exhaust systems, shocks, struts, state inspections, batteries, tires, and many other services. Give them a call at 603-569-4400, and don't forget to tell them that Mike and the Haas sent you.
Welcome back to Mike and the Haas, 569-5253. I don't know why we saved the Patriots for last.
I know.
And the NFL for last. We could do
Patriots all four segments.
I know. So do you know they're playing tonight?
I know. Thursday Night Football.
I love Thursday Night Football, except when the Patriots are playing.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Because it's funny because I looked at my things that I need to do tonight, and I obviously need to work the Patriots into it, but I'm just like, ugh. There's so much that I got to get done.
I think you do,
and you got to get the game in as well.
Yeah. So, but it's late, and it's gonna be a late night. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Letdown.
I mean, I hope not. I mean, that's the biggest fear. We were talking about that the other day, and having a short week, coming off a huge win on Sunday, is the script written for a letdown? Absolutely.
You bet it.
So I like what you put in here, Mike. You were talking about. It's not about the competition. On paper, the Patriots are a better team than the Falcons. It's about their heads. It's about whether or not we can go out and execute against this Atlanta Falcons team coming off a huge win against the Browns.
This is going to be. This is a good test for this team mentally.
Yeah, yeah, mental test.
A mental test, because physically, from what we've seen on the field, they're a better team.
They being the Patriots.
The Patriots.
Yeah.
But can they not read their headlines? Because they are, by far, the most hyped and best 6-4 team I've ever heard of in my life.
Right.
You can't turn on a sports center. Here come the Patriots. The Patriots only took 1 year off to rebuild.
Yeah.
Other teams take 20 years to rebuild. The Patriots did it in one.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah.
Chris Collinsworth came out.
Six and four.
Chris Collinsworth said, hey, I get to broadcast the Super Bowl this year, and every Super Bowl I broadcast, the Patriots are in it. That's what he let us know.
So. I saw that. That is. If the Patriots make the Super Bowl this year, then, boy, Bill's, I mean, the star is going to shine on Bill, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
If it took him a year to rebuild, and things are hitting. He's certainly hit on Mac Jones. He's hit on Ramondre.
Yeah.
Ramondre was a beast last week. He's hit on Matthew Judon.
Mm-hmm.
Hit on Hunter Henry.
Yeah.
Hasn't hit on Jonah Smith. You know, that's that one has not
yet. And he's a
Christian Barmore has hit on that
one. Barmore's great.
You know, there's a lot of things that are really going pretty well for the Patriots. But then again, you're an injury away from everything going sideways. And they're 6-4. Mm-hmm. They still can't afford to lose any games.
No.
You know, if they're 7-2, I'd say, okay, or, you know, 8-2,
right.
Then you say, okay, maybe you can handle a slip up against Atlanta. They're not in any position to slip up against anybody.
You're right. They need this win, and then they have one more game, and then the bye.
And, so. I mean, I think they, I would say they need to win out until the through the bye.
Yeah, so two more games.
They got to split with Buffalo and then win out.
Yeah.
That's what I feel. But who knows? I mean, it's the National Football League. They're on a hot streak. But, you know, one of those games was against the Jets. One of those games was San Diego, who was struggling at that time.
They're still struggling.
One of the games was Carolina, who was really struggling at that time. But they kind of pulled it together last week.
Last week was a legit win against the Browns.
Those are certainly – last week was the Browns, and that was legit.
Yeah.
By the way, I meant to say that Jason Tatum is the Baker Mayfield of the NBA.
I like that.
There's a lot of hype around him, a lot of commercials.
Yeah.
There's some big point days, but there's no winning.
Right.
There's not much winning going on. So, yeah. And he can't seem to get along with his teammates.
Yeah, it's just like Jason Tatum. Yeah, you're right.
It is.
You're right.
It is. And then I get some stuff about Matt Ryan. I've never been a Matt Ryan fan. I think he's so overrated.
Even in college?
Well, you know, he's a BC guy.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, I mean, it was kind of nice having a BC guy there. Was he a number one pick?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
We could check the Google machine. I'll do that for you.
But I just feel like Matt Ryan has, I don't know, just never really been. He's a former MVP, and I get all that stuff, but I think he's one of those guys that needs to have, you know, 7 of the top skill position players around him to be good. You know, then he's good. But, you know, somebody like...
So Matt Ryan was the third pick,
in the
first round of the 2008 draft.
Okay. It's going to be... I mean, I don't know if there's... Last week, we didn't have many good games to pick from. This week... seems to be a little bit better.
So before we do our picks, what are the Patriots? How are they going to be successful tonight against the Falcons? Running, passing? I mean, the obvious thing is a mixture of both, Charlie. I mean, and what do you think the game plan is going
to
be?
I think they're going to do anything that they can not to give the game away. The reffing crew is tied for the third most penalties in the league.
Yeah,
worries me. Mm-hmm. You know, because if I were Atlanta, every play I'd be sending a guy deep.
Yeah,
and try and get
pass interference.
You know Atlanta's going to do stuff like now. Atlanta's not a slouch; they're 4-5.
Right.
You know they've won 4 games this year, so that's not a slouch. I mean, theoretically, they're only 2 games behind the Patriots. So, a different division. I'm not saying that they're in the same division, but they could go bad.
Yeah.
Now they've put the receiver that mental health. I forget his name. Not Godwin.
Godwin plays for Tampa.
Yeah. Anyway, their number one receiver that they held on to because the other I'm doing names. I'm struggling with names again, Charlie.
Sorry.
The one that went to Tennessee. The receiver that went to Tennessee from Atlanta. Their number one. Julio Jones.
Julio is no longer there. Yeah.
Cordell Patterson, who has been doing a great job,
yeah,
turned his ankle. They don't think he's going to play. He might even be ruled out already.
Former Patriot. Yeah.
Now, they do have Kyle Pitts, who's a stud.
Yeah.
That's the tight end, who's a stud. So, we'll get to our score predictions in a second, but I think the Patriots just have to not worry about blowing them out.
Yeah.
Just be consistent. March the ball down the field. Be efficient. Play their offense. Be good on defense. You all right?
Okay.
Be good on defense. Don't try to be exotic. Just be solid on defense. Don't give up the big plays.
Right.
And stay away from penalties
you
and
know
turnovers.
Who, we haven't really mentioned who I'm becoming a fan of, N'Keal Harry,
blocker
because of his blocking.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's not going to get the receptions, but you know what? If he can go out there and he's willing to do it, which he has been, go out there and block.
All in. You watch. They're going to have him block, and then it's going to be a decoy.
Yeah,
and you know, because every time that he's on the field, they're running the ball.
Yeah,
and so at some point they're going to get him the ball deep.
Of course they will.
Yeah. All right. So we'll save the next game for last.
Okay.
Where's our sheet here?
Yeah. I need to go on record right now. Okay.
Oh, that's right. You're down one.
Not only am I down one, you forced me, And I feel like, once again, Eric, here is another grievance being filed by me, that you forced me to pick against my beloved San Francisco 49ers.
I did not force you.
You did. You kind of, no, you
were. Last week
you
were. I forced you, not this
yeah.
past week.
So,
I didn't force
and my
you.
Beloved 49ers.
I just can't believe that you picked against
got the
them.
Win, got the win because you forced me to pick against them.
I can't believe you picked against them.
Yeah, I hear you.
I just can't believe
All right,
you.
So I'm down one.
Well, let's do the Pats game first. Let's okay. do it first in case we run out of time.
I'm going to take the New England Patriots.
I'm going to take the New England Patriots. Any score predictions? Because I was pretty close to my
I was
going to
say,
week.
You when we had Reed Swinnerton on, you were really close.
Reed's having a tough time at school. He doesn't want to see me at school very much right now.
Well,
you know,
I totally
you
get
know,
it.
You know,
but I heard he might be – is it true? I think he might be traveling to the game.
This weekend, he's
yes.
going to Cleveland.
That's
to
exciting.
To the game. Yes.
And I hope the Browns win this weekend. Okay, so score predictions, I am going to say
– they're playing Detroit. They're going to be fine.
31-17 New England.
All right. That would bum me out because that means the defense let up 17 points against
okay.
a team that doesn't have offense.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 28-3 New England.
Mike, 28-3 against
yes.
Atlanta? Really?
I'm just rubbing salt into
okay.
the wound.
28-3. Could you imagine?
What was yours, 31?
31-17 New England.
And I got 28-3.
Great.
Yeah. Indianapolis at Buffalo, I think that's a game that we could pick.
Yeah. Let's pick that one.
So Indy is playing pretty well up until the fourth quarter. Fourth quarter, they seemed to collapse a little bit, but they held on last week against Jacksonville. And Jacksonville beat Buffalo.
They did.
Buffalo was big against the Jets last week. What do you got?
I'm going to take the Bills because are going to go 7-3. Not that I want them to, but they're going to go 7-3.
I would agree. Baltimore, Chicago. I think Baltimore's going to clean themselves up a little bit, and they're going to win that. Although Justin Fields is playing much better in Chicago.
True.
Detroit at Cleveland. Cleveland will bounce back and beat Detroit.
Yes.
Houston at Tennessee. Houston's not going to have a shot.
Tennessee will get that.
Tennessee's starting to roll
Tennessee's
again.
Tennessee's going to go 9-2.
Yep. And that's going to be a huge game next week if the Patriots win and take care of business. Green Bay going to Minnesota. Green Bay right now is the number one ranked team in the league.
Yeah.
The NFL. And Minnesota is not, but they had a win last week, I believe.
So the Minnesota's 4-5, and of course the Packers are 8-2.
Green Bay in Minnesota, and Aaron Rodgers has a hurt toe.
Yeah. Do we want to pick this game?
Let me just see. What do we need? Two more games? Three more games?
Three more.
There's one game. There's two. There's three. No, there's three left.
Okay.
Let's not.
I still think the Packers win this game.
Okay. Miami at the Jets. The Who Cares
that,
Bowl.
That's who really cares
Joe Flacco's playing for the Jets.
Yeah.
New Orleans at Philadelphia. Again, New Orleans is so backed. Alvin Kamara's coming back for that game. Philadelphia's looking much better.
Yeah,
I think they're going to make some noise as the season goes on. Where are we at? Washington at Carolina. Cam Newton's supposed to start this week. All I read about is Cam Newton. He's back.
Go,
Washington football
team.
Please,
Washington,
win that game.
Win two in a row, Washington.
Oh, I want to root against Cam Newton again.
Yeah.
San Francisco is going to Jacksonville. Do you want to pick Jacksonville on that one, or you want to? No, you keep not picking your team. This 2 weeks in a row you didn't pick.
I mean,
your team.
Niners are 4-5, so they're going to at the end of this week
they're starting to roll. Jimmy's starting to play.
Yeah, they'll be 5-5.
There's some issues over there because they want to get Trey Lance in there, and Jimmy's playing too well.
Yeah.
So I like that kind of drama. Cincinnati is going to Vegas. They're both coming off of losses. Vegas is coming off a big loss. I think Vegas probably bounces back. All right, we're picking this one. Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to Kansas City.
Dallas at KC. So Dallas is 7-2.
Yep.
And the Chiefs are 6-4.
Chiefs looked good last week. So did Dallas, though.
Yeah.
They both had blowout wins.
I'm going to stick with Coach McCullough because he doesn't steer me wrong, and I'm going to go with the Cowboys.
All right. I'm going to go KC on that one.
All right. I like it. Controversy.
Yep.
Yes.
And Arizona at Seattle. We got to hurry up. We got a couple minutes.
All right.
Arizona at Seattle.
I'm going to take the Arizona Cardinals.
I'm going to go Seattle. I don't think Kyler Murray's still playing.
No.
So you got
Arizona. I'll take Arizona.
Seattle and Arizona. And then lastly, Pittsburgh at the Chargers.
Ugh, I can't pick the Steelers. Come on, Chargers. Get a win.
I'm going Chargers,
too. I mean, Pittsburgh tied last week.
And then the Monday night game, New York at Tampa, which we're not going to worry about.
Yeah.
We are off next week.
Excuse me. I am going to worry about it. Tom Brady's going to win.
We are off next week. We're on vacation.
Yes.
But Mike and the Hoss will still be playing. Eric has been going deep through the archives to just pull out shows that are memorable.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome. You know, so we are going to be returning live on Monday the 20th.
We've done a Thanksgiving show today.
Monday the 29th.
And if we would have done next year, we'll do a Thanksgiving show.
Yeah, we should do a Thanksgiving show. So for all of our fans out there, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. And enjoy your turkey.
Safe. Thank you. Well, I will in my Chinese food. And safe travels to you and your family.
I was saying that to people out there.
Okay.
Not you.
Oh, I thought you were asking me. I'm like, thanks. I will. I will have
enjoy your Kowloon.
Thank you.
All right, we want to once again thank our advertisers for supporting Mike and the Hoss on WASR, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. Thanks to Faye Moore, Berkshire Hathaway,
Seacoast Spine and Sports Injuries Clinic,
Skelly's Market,
Lucas Roasting Company,
Duran Independent Insurance,
Carroll County Oil,
Downtown Grill and Cafe,
Weston Auto Body,
Linda's Flowers,
Bradley's Hardware,
JCN Shuttle,
and the Full Belly Deli.
Have a great week.